right, it's Freedom Fiends Live. It is our Sunday show, July 7th, 2013. I'm Nima Vidati representing Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean joining us from the rural Wild West of Wyoming. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am excellent, and I'm broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Mountain West of the occupied states of America, and I feel fine.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Well, we've also got a third person on with us today, a special guest, David Kodria. He's written for Guns and Ammo Magazine, Handguns Magazine, and now Guns Magazine. Lots of guns there. He runs the popular blog The War on Guns and writes the Gun Rights Examiner. He's a featured speaker at the D.C. Second Amendment March in 2010. Him and Mike Vanderbo, they broke the Fast and Furious ATF quote, gun walking scandal. He was honored for this by the Second Amendment Foundation, Soldier of Fortune magazine, and the JPFO. And he's been a guest on national and major market television, radio programs, and now a guest with us, The Fiends. David's also a user of Michael's book, a User's Manual for the Human Experience, and was the first person to review it. He came up with one of The Fiends' favorite sayings, calling government officials, quote, the only ones. Based on that cop who shot himself in the foot after telling a room full of kids, I'm the only one in this room that I know of professional enough to carry this Glock 40.
Yeah.
Now, David, you and Mike V, are you guys, you consider yourselves the Bob Woodward and Bernstein of our time, you know, the guys who broke the Watergate scandal. Is that how big this is? What do you think?
I actually think that in all modesty, it's bigger than Watergate, only because in Watergate, no one died. We're up to something like over 200 people dead as a result of this obscene Fast and Furious program. I just reported on or commented on a report about a police chief down in Jalisco who was killed, and his bodyguard was killed, and his wife and another bodyguard were wounded with a gun that was traced back to the Fast and Furious program. And we have no idea, because of all the guns that are out there in the wild as a result of this, like I say, obscene criminal act on the part of the government, how many more victims are going to suffer death and leave grieving loved ones as a result of this extremely cynical program, which unfortunately the government and the mainstream media would like people to believe was merely a botched gun sting.
Right, and that's what they've been calling it. But why don't you break it down for our audience in as simple terms as you can, what it was. You know, avoid the government speak or the fancy public policy words. What really happened here? What's the scandal?
My belief, based on early information from whistleblowers, is that this was an attempt by ATF in Phoenix to run a program that would pad statistics and allow more and more U.S.-sourced guns to be found at violent Mexican crime scenes so that the administration could use that as a justification for ginning up support for more gun control, including an assault weapons ban, which Eric Holder, and whenever I say assault weapons, please understand, I always put quotation marks around it because that's a media term.
Right.
It's not a real term. But that, and also the ability then that they passed in the four border states to require registration, essentially reporting of multiple rifle purchases. And so I think that this was a ginned up program to attempt to pad statistics. What had happened was that ATF was knowingly allowing and encouraging gun shops to allow straw purchasers who they knew were trafficking guns down to Mexico to get away with it. They were making absolutely no attempt to track the guns once they crossed the border. They kept the Mexican government and their own attaché in the dark about it, and all of a sudden, everything is going fine until one night in December, a Border Patrol agent by the name of Brian Terry was killed when he encountered, some of these traffickers in a canyon in Arizona. And as it turns out, that the guns found at his murder scene were trackable back to the Fast and Furious program. That's what blew this wide open. Mm-hmm. That's what really got some of the ATF whistleblowers absolutely incensed.
So, but in your view, this was a cynical action on the part of the government to paint guns in a bad light. One of the questions I had wanted to ask was, you know, if guns don't kill people, people kill people. Why do we care where the cartels got these guns? You know, wouldn't they have just gotten them somewhere else if Holder didn't provide them? But I guess what you're saying now is this is kind of a cynical action on Holder's part to paint guns as the bad guy, you know, paint guns as what really kill people.
People would not have been dead as a result of a U.S. government program allowing the guns to go into, you know, it's like if I run you over with my car, in a specific instance with my car, somebody else may get run over with someone else's car, but you were just run over with my car. So I think you're going to care a little bit more if it's you and or your loved ones that are caught up in a government program. Certainly people die all the time as a result of Mexican cartel violence. We just had some beheadings reported on the part of Los Zetas beheading some Gulf cartel members. And, you know, sure, people are going to die, but these same specific people aren't necessarily going to die. You're going to change the entire timeline, so to speak. And the fact of the matter is people were killed and people are still dying, unknown people, as a result of a United States government program that they're trying to portray as, again, a failed gun tracking operation. But you cannot fail in tracking guns if you never attempt to track the guns.
Right. So in a sense, the beef is that the blood is now on the ATF's hands and on Holder's hands instead of just on the hands of some cartel goons.
Well, you know, there's I think, a lot more to the beef than just narrowing it down to just one dimension like that. Look, we could go off on all kinds of tangents, and we could blame, you know, the insane war on drugs that's being prosecuted in this country to militarize the police and to, you know, create all kinds of excuses for intruding into the privacy of Americans, into our banking affairs, into, you know, the preponderance now of no-knock home invasions on the part of law enforcement. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And this is just one more. And the other thing is the stonewalling and the lying that have taken place in terms of trying to unravel this and trying to investigate this. And, of course, another component of that is the utter complicity on the part of the mainstream media to run interference for the administration and to actually not only interfere with the investigation and discourage the investigation, but to put out disinformation and to attack and smear people who are trying to get to the truth.
Well, isn't that the whole problem? Is that if TV doesn't talk about it and give it a lot of weight as a big scandal, as being something that, like, in your opinion, is bigger than Watergate, then the American public, you know, the vast majority of them are just kind of oblivious. You know, we wanted to make it a point on our show to go into some of the background of this because a lot of people out there might have never heard of this.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, there's no one person, there's no one bad guy, or there's no one cause to point a finger at. It's a convergence of a lot of things. It's a convergence of the fact that the American people allow their politicians and the media to get away with this, because if we were as alert as you guys are, as your listeners are, we wouldn't be in this problem because people would be more aware. But, you know, I put a lot of blame on our countrymen who are disinvolved and disengaged and deliberately indifferent and willfully ignorant, and they would rather watch Dancing with the Stars or keep up with the Kardashians or any of this other stuff rather than address things that are vital and things that are truly important. I came up with a concept some years back. I called it the pH factor. And what that is simply put the name Paris Hilton into the Google search bar, see how many hits you get, and now put the name Patrick, now put the name Patrick Henry and see how many hits you get. And I believe that there's a ratio at some point where it'll be the point of no return, that society has so degenerated that, you know, there's nothing to, you know, left to save.
Well, you don't think we've already passed that point? I mean, I kind of feel like the line has been crossed every year more and more. I mean, there's NDAA, there's drone strikes, there's killing of American citizens with no due process. You know, all this stuff has kind of come to pass, and people just either don't know or shrug. They don't seem to care.
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer. Have we passed the point? Because I have feelings sometimes like, yeah, maybe that's true. But what I don't have is I don't have knowledge that that's true, and that's the difference. And I try to distinguish between just my beliefs based on my gut and what I can say that I actually know based on evidence and things like that. And the one thing that I know for sure is that I've never met anyone who can predict the future and who can tell us what the catalyst will be and who can tell us what shape things are going to take. And, they don't even get the weather for tomorrow, right?
Right, right. Well, okay. So what do you think the answer is? If people are obsessed with Paris Hilton instead of Patrick Henry, is it about just letting people know, trying to educate them? Because, you know, you guys broke this amazing story, this really important thing. And like I said, the vast majority of people just shrugged. I mean, what is the answer? Is it that root level of getting people interested, and how do you get them interested? What is voting the answer? Is political action the answer? Because how can that be the answer if everybody's just ignorant of the facts?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, it's not a mess of my creation, so I can't come on here and be a poser and act like I have any great answer or any solution. I have no idea. Look, if somebody's going to go through life dumb, they're going to end up hurt, because I mean I think that the one truism is that knowledge is power. And that truth can't be denied. I mean, you can deny it, but it's still going to hurt you. You know, you can disbelieve in the law of gravity. I don't suggest you jump off any roofs trying to, bolster your faith. I don't have a solution to it. Maybe it's going to take a big collapse. I don't know. It seems that this is something that people have routinely fallen for. Look, this is not new.
We're gonna go to a break, David, and come back right after this. We're gonna go to the market.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio. 5 centuries after the first space flight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe! It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
All All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live. It is our Sunday edition on July 7th, 2013. I'm Nima Vidati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Michael?
Good morning. I'm excellent. The birds are chirping. The squirrels are chasing the antelopes. And, you know, I got my big pile of bison hair here. It's awesome.
Good job. And we've also got special guest David Kodria on with us, one of the two duo that broke the Fast and Furious Gunwalker scandal. Are you there, David?
I am here, guys. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And so, you know, during the break, we were kind of talking about Woodward and Bernstein, and they didn't have the answers either. They just pointed out something they saw as scandalous. You know, they followed the story. And when I was in journalism school, they taught us, you know, journalists aren't supposed to tell people what to think necessarily, unless they're an opinion columnist, and then they're just telling people what they think.
They do.
But a valid function is to tell people what's going on, i.e. to tell them what to think about, you know, the subjects, what's going on in the world. Tell us a little bit about how you came across the Gunwalker scandal. Why? What piqued your interest? Why you thought it was so important? And sort of the process.
Okay, Mike Vanderbo and I have both for years been following a website called cleanupatf.org. And this is a website with a forum where so-called dissident ATF agents can complain and document instances, you know, anonymously of waste, abuse, corruption, and fraud within the Bureau. And back in 2009, way before we heard about Fast and Furious, and certainly way before Brian Terry had ended up killed, I had written an open letter published on my Gun Rights Examiner column at davidkodria.com, basically to the House Oversight Committee. At the time, it was controlled by the Democrats, saying, look, I don't know if these guys are making stuff up or if they're just disgruntled or if they really have something, but you guys are the House Oversight Committee. Here you have veteran ATF agents making very serious allegations about the way their operation is run, and you owe it to the American people and you owe it to your very reason for existence to investigate and to determine if these allegations are true or if they're just disgruntled rumblings. And since I was one of the only ones, and Mike was only one of the only ones who were championing that and publicly championing that, and of course it fell on deaf ears, and of course the very people that we were appealing to back then are the ones trying to squash the Gunwalker investigation today, okay? And we'd had different contacts that we developed, and we were actually quite surprised to find ourselves in this because we have kind of a reputation for being absolutely adamant against ATF, against the whole constitutional reason for its existence, against the fact that they're going out there and trying to regulate that which shall not be infringed. And So it was kind of funny, but we also had developed reputations and contacts. And so that when we were initially contacted by some people and then contacted by some whistleblowers, it was kind of antsy at first, okay, because obviously we come from our background, they come from their background. And the other thing is, you know, you also have to be certain that you're dealing with the real deal. I just got set up about a month and a half ago where I had perfectly credible sources, multiple sources that I was able to vet out and get the same story from, and even see the story appear on a broadcast news program, and went with the story and found out that the main source behind it was a fraud and a hoaxer. So you have to be careful about that because, again, when you're working without a net and you fall, it hurts. And so we had to vet these people through our other contacts, make certain they were who they said that they were, and that we weren't being set up with disinformation just to publish bad stuff and either get bad information out there and or, you know, destroy whatever reputations it is that we've managed to build for ourselves over the years. One other real difference between Woodward and Bernstein is that they get salaries and they have expense reports and budgets right. and staffs and you know, all kinds of things that Mike and I are just kind of lone rangering out there on our own dime, you know, trying to make things happen. If you can imagine what it would be like if you had honest networks and honest newspapers to take people who, and I'm not necessarily saying us.
We can only imagine, right? And we're actually going to go to the market here, but we do thank you for your service. We'll hold you over for the next segment. And folks, stay tuned to listen to more David Kodria.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
I'm Brian. It's the Freedom Fiends live on Sunday, July 7th, 2013. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean joining us from Wyoming. How are you doing, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. After the show today, I'm going out to pick up my AK. I had to get it fixed because Nima and his brother, the brothers Vedati, broke it.
You keep blaming us for that. I think it was the AK
itself, well, it's kind of like the chair game.
Guns don't kill people, but they break themselves.
Whoever's not sitting in the chair when the music stops is to blame. So, yeah. All right. Let's go back to the interview, man. Enough about me and my guns.
All right. Well, we've got David Kodria here with us. How you doing, David? You there?
Yeah, it's wonderful to be with you guys. Thanks.
Excellent. So I kind of want to get a little bit philosophical here for the last half of our interview. You know, a lot of gun folks, if you could call them that, seem to have a very big love, I don't even know if that's the word, of the Constitution, almost a faith that the Constitution can save the country. You know, my favorite thoughts on the Constitution are probably Lysander Spooner's in his very famous quote, which I will quote here. Spooner says, "But whether the Constitution really be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it has either authorized such a government as we have had or has been powerless to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist." What are your thoughts on that?
That's an interesting one. Here's the thing. No culture is eternal. That's the one lesson in history that we have. Every culture has come and gone before us. That's the observation that we can make. And therefore, their laws and their documents and everything else are at some point going to be history. I believe that freedom, as with everything else, is a technology. And it's an evolving technology. And we take steps to get to the next level throughout it if we master, which we didn't with the Founders' Constitution. What it was really supposed to do, along with the Bill of Rights, was to do what the preamble said that it was set out to do. And they're good and worthy goals for any freedom culture, okay, to establish justice. Okay, to make sure that there's domestic tranquility, to make sure that those of us who join together have the ability to defend ourselves, to secure the blessings of liberty is one of my favorite phrases from the preamble to ourselves and to our posterity. Now, there's certainly no question that the ink wasn't dry on the paper when people learned how to game the system. And, yep. You know, I mean, there had been politicians and lobbyists and people with special interest to get things passed on day one. We see the way failures were allowed and or misapplications were allowed. You know, I'm aware of the history of Shay's Rebellion. I'm aware of Andrew Jackson's campaign of extermination against the Indians, which were then, you know, followed by, you know, other people up to and through Custer to our present day reservation and dependency system. I think that the Constitution is, I guess I think of Isaac Newton, And what he said was, if I have seen farther than others, it's because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. Now, these lofty goals in the preamble, to me, our Constitution, for its time in history, provided an unprecedented, with all the flaws, with all the injustices, with all the betrayals, it provided a level of freedom, individual freedom, and prosperity that the world has never seen. Now, Spooner, you know, he's absolutely right, like so many people, in terms of defining the problem, in terms of coming up with a viable solution. No one has come up with one yet to be able to demonstrate it in action. You know, Spooner tried to come up with a competition for the post office. Well, existing laws were able to shut him down. He was not able to create a structure that was invulnerable to that type of coercion. I have, looked at various private contractual society type arrangements, and a lot of good thought goes into them. And I think what we need to see is we need to see something happen that's a viable alternative that people can go to. Because one other thing about the human condition is that we organize. And unless you're organized, the person with the bigger organization is essentially going to be able to dominate. And that's the goal, I think, that people who are interested in freedom need to come up with concrete examples and concrete abilities to live their lives that make it attractive to other people to want it. Now, is there a solution? Again, I didn't create this mess. Beats me.
Well, what do you think about crypto anarchy, sort of the concept that, well, the government's kind of slow to react to things, especially technologies that are fast moving? So what do you think of examples like Bitcoin, Litecoin, encrypted browsing, encrypted messaging, things that people can use to achieve a freedom from government intrusion in the way they use currency, in the way they communicate with each other, in the way they transact, places like eBay even, where you have a system of ratings. So you can know it's sort of self-regulating because you can see if somebody is out there being disingenuous with their descriptions, or you can see if they're honest and they have a lot of good feedback. Don't those bode well for the concept of humans interacting freely without some sort of superstructure over them dictating how the conflicts are resolved?
Well, those certainly bode well, and they are certainly, wonderful experiments that ought to be encouraged and but the bottom line is that all of those technologies ultimately would not exist if we were living under a regime that did not have a Bill of Rights, such as in Tehran. And I know that there are people in bloggers in Tehran and people like that who are trying to get the truth out, but they're all subject to being raided and persecuted by the government, the same as in North Korea, the same as in Saudi Arabia. And the bottom line is that in order to have remarkable developments like this occur, the prerequisite to that is, again, to be able to stand on the shoulders of giants and to be able to be the beneficiaries of a system where developing something like that and implementing something like that is possible without getting, the thought police breaking down your door, taking you out, executing you, and throwing you into a mass grave. And so, I think that the Constitution and the system of government that we set up allowed a development like that to occur. You need to go through one door before the next one is there to open with you. That's, I guess, my philosophical thought on that.
But what about the idea that a restrictive government motivates people to participate in these kinds of things? And even
sure
in America, we do have situations where people get thrown in prison. The two teenagers recently have been thrown in prison. I've been in there for months for just making comments on Facebook with regard to playing video games. Idle threats, you can call them, or just jokes.
No argument about that. Why did the pilgrims, initially come to America? Okay, it was, so that they could have religious freedom, so that the repression that they were enduring was a motivation for them to try an alternative and to set up an alternative. And now that those alternatives are out there, it is up to people to make those ventures either a success or a failure. And I don't know which way that's going to go. But I mean, if you expect an argument that, geez, there's injustice under our system, I'm the last guy in the world to argue with you. I agree with you 100%.
I kind of feel like the Constitution, it as those kind of documents go, it's a really good one, the Bill of Rights particularly. But I didn't sign it. I didn't agree to it. And it's so flawed that it's an immoral document. But I still want to know it and be able to use it if need be. Sort of like my analogy is, if I were thrown into a boxing ring with a guy who is bigger than me, I didn't agree to be thrown into the ring, and he starts punching, I want to know the rules of that ring, even if I don't agree with him. That's kind of how I look at the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Well, the way I look at it is, if somebody's punching me, there are no rules. I'm sorry. I have this saying, Ulla Sella in Pugna in Taberna. I don't have the dang thing memorized right now, but basically what it means is any chair in a bar fight. And that's kind of my philosophy, that I don't want to fight. I want to be peaceable. Don't make me fight. Let me leave. But if you won't, then we go to the John Wayne movie and I pick up a chair, okay? Because, I tried my best to get out of it and to resolve things peaceably. it's again, so easy to find flaws, okay? Because what we're talking about is, we're talking about 235-year-old freedom technology, which is what the Constitution represented, if I've got the years correct. And that's not to say that there will not be superior mechanisms to take place in the future. I would be surprised if we don't destroy ourselves that there won't be, although sometimes I wonder if we're not going into a new dark ages where something like that is going to have to be totally rediscovered, God knows when. But the bottom line is that, again, the Constitution, for all of its flaws right now, is what is out there and what allows us to be having, at this point, this conversation, which we could not be having in Tehran on the radio, and we could not be having in North Korea on the radio. And it's incumbent on us to use the freedom that we're able to claim without being stopped and coerced to develop new freedoms. And I don't believe that we're going to be able to do that unless we first insist on and protect the freedoms that are ours and that are recognized in the system that we're currently living in. As much as we would like to have future society, human beings are imperfect, their societies are imperfect, their relationships with each other are fraught with personal motivations and all the flaws that come along with being humanity. And I don't know that perfection is ever going to be anything that is attainable by the human condition. You may asymptotically approach it and get pretty close, but there's always going to be a bug in the software.
Yeah. I don't think we're utopian at all, but definitely an interesting conversation to have. We'll have more with David Kodria. We're going to ask him a little bit about Cody Wilson's printable gun and Edward Snowden. So stay tuned to the Freedom Fiends Live.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees! What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
All right, welcome back, fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vadadi. Say hi to the folks real quick, Michael W. Dean.
Holla, 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 holla.
All right, and we've also got David Kodria here. I'm just going to get right into it because we've got a little shorter segment here. First, I want to ask about Edward Snowden. Now, Justin Raimondo, who writes for the American Conservative and Antiwar.com in a recent column, said that this is kind of the new realignment issue, how you feel about Edward Snowden. This could be sort of a turning point in American political discourse. Do you agree with that, Mr. Kodria? And if not, what are your thoughts on Mr. Snowden and his revealing whistleblowing?
Oh, I definitely think that Edward Snowden represents a line that people are going to fall on either side of, and it's not easy to define sometimes who is going to be on each side of the line, because you'll have, of course, the Obama administration on their side of the line, and they're, of course, joined by, John McCain and the so-called conservatives, and,
yeah.
I forget who it was who said that Snowden needs to have the death penalty imposed on him. And then you have the people who say, well, wait a minute, we need open government, we need transparent government, we need whistleblowers. I appreciate whistleblowers. My caution on this is that really the only thing I know about it is what I have read in the media. And having been through the Fast and Furious meat grinder, I got to tell you, so much of what I see in the media is absolutely wrong, emphasizing the wrong points, omitting other points. And so on the surface, with what we supposedly know about Snowden, I'm sympathetic. And I'm thinking that acts of bravery and patriotism need to be done. I don't know enough of the story to know what his motives were, and did he go into this thinking that this was going to happen? And I guess where I have to draw the line is that when you start revealing secrets where people's lives are on the line, for instance, if you gave out secrets about who are various informers, maybe in Afghanistan or Tehran or someplace like that, and people ended up getting killed as a result of that, I would have to say, you know what, that's pretty irresponsible when people are dying as a result of your supposed whistleblowing. In terms of, are you exposing things that need to be exposed? It's like, I guess that's my bottom line on Snowden. I don't see where any people are getting beheaded as a result of what he did. So I have to say that my gut feel, based on the media qualifiers, are that I have to come down on Snowden's side.
Okay. And speaking of freedom fighters, what do you think of Cody Wilson's printable gun project? Does this, it's kind of a proof of concept now. It's just a little single shot plastic thing. But as that goes, as the technology gets better and better, which it will, I think, do you think this kind of makes the concept of government gun control almost a moot point?
No, I don't think it makes it a moot point at all, because then they just move the goalposts on what it is they're going to control. And they can control data. They could go after, the entire software thing with existing international traffic and arms regulations and make, exporting that, which means basically putting it out on the Internet, a felony if they so chose to. They could, do various incentives for printer manufacturers to put in, blocks so that that type of software could not be done. I mean, there's always a workaround. I think it's an exciting technology. I think it needs to be encouraged. I think it needs to be developed. And I'm looking forward to the day when, we can all afford home printers and print out whatever the heck it is we want.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and pitch yourself a little bit here? If people enjoyed the interview, where can they go to hear more from you?
The best place to go to help me feed my feral sons Uday and Kusei. I never give their real names out, so I name them after Saddam's, okay? And I keep them in the basement, and every once in a while I find them gnawing on a shin bone. But the best place to go is davidcodria.com. That's my name, DavidCodrea, one word, .com. My blog is thewaronguns.com. And, of course, I write at gunsmagazine.com. So those three locations. But if I have my druthers, davidcodrea.com.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your service. And we all here at The Fiends really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you, David.
Gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity. Have a good day.
Take care.
All right. You too. All right, folks, this is Freedom Fiends Live. That was our interview with David Codrea. You can go ahead and check that out on the archives as well if you want to go back and listen to that and get all that audio goodness straight to your ear. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends Live Sunday show.
We're going to talk about the hype man in hip-hop and rap and his history.
Yes, so you want to stay tuned.
Worms. 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 Worm, 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 worms. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
All right, holla, holla, holla. It's the Freedom Fiends. Yeah. You already know what it is because I just told you. I'm Nima Benatti. We've also got Hype Man Michael W. Dean over there. How y'all doing today? It is our second segment of our live Sunday show on July 7th. That's how we do it up in this piece. What it do, y'all?
Man, that was an amazing interview. I really, really, really liked that interview with David Codrea.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, he was totally on point, man. Like, well-spoken, good thoughts, able to communicate them effectively. It went really well, man. I think everybody, if you haven't heard that, if you're just joining us, go to freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, FEENS.com. And check out the archive once it's posted. I think you're going to post it right after this.
No. I post after it's done playing delayed on, so that means like 9 o'clock tonight because it plays on the Wyoming station from 7 to 9. So, yep. Holla, holla, holla. Yeah, that was David's great. David's one of those kind of like chameleon shapeshifters types, which not shapeshifter, that's an evil word, but he can go anywhere. Like he can go hang out, you know, at the squirrel cookout in Tennessee at the first annual cannon and machine gun squirrel cookout. And then he can put on a tie and like walk into some Washington bureaucrat's office and tell him what's wrong with him. And he does that. He can kind of like how, you know, the guys that were managers for rock bands back when I was a manager, I mean, they were guys that could come hang out in, you know, the vomit-filled practice room, and then they could put on a tie and go to the boardroom and deal with, you know, the vice president of Warner Brothers kind of guy. That's what he is, and it's a good thing to be able to do. And But he's not a hype man. I'm a hype man, and we're going to talk about hype man. Hype man.
We're each other's hype men. Yeah,
we are,
like
we
the Beastie Boys. We are each other's hype men. We wanted to talk about hype men a little bit, just because we take the show in different directions sometimes. And me and Michael are both music oriented musicians, and we like to chat about that.
I'll say this: David's doing two more interviews today. One's on Armed American Radio, and the other's on another gun show. And they're good shows, and they'll be great interviews. But they're not going to talk about rap and hip hop. Hype man right after he's done. I'll tell you that. I guarantee it. I don't know. I haven't seen their schedule today, but I guarantee they're not going to be talking about hype man in the second hour.
Yeah, I would not bet against you on that point at all. I would lose money.
So hype man, let me read the Wikipedia entry. A hype man in hip-hop music and rapping is the backup rapper and or singer who supports the primary rappers with exclamations and interjections. Holla, holla, holla. And who attempts to increase the audience's excitement with call and response chants. Yeah, yes. So basically, and, you know, I really liked how Public Enemy did this, because they had guys dressed in paramilitary suits who not only looked like, not only served the purpose of the hype man, but they kind of looked like the armed bodyguards of the African warlord to me. You know, they were wearing those, like, generic camo and kind of red Shea hats. And it was scary, man. It looked like they were going to hype. They were going to do some backup singing and then would shoot you with AKs if you didn't agree or if you tried to stop the guy. That's what they looked like.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Although the most famous hype man is probably Flava Flav from Public Enemy. And he was really the comic relief
because
Chuck D was just dropping mad science and, you know, stuff that could depress you about how the government's out to get you. They're not your friend.
Yeah.
And if you call 911, it's a joke and they're not going to save you.
Chuck D was the college professor and Flava Flav was the Beavis and Butthead cutting up in the back of the class, and they're both important to the college experience, you know, kind of like you know, Ben Stone is the college professor of Liberty, and Nima Vidati and Michael W. Dean are the Beavis and Butthead in the back of the class cutting up.
So, you got it.
Yeah. Holla, holla.
The best example I saw in real life was when I saw Busta Rhymes at La Zona Rosa here in Austin. Oh, maybe 8 years. No, like 6 years ago, I think. And it was him and Spliff Star, who's his hype man. And, you know, Spliff can spit some bars, too. See, that's the thing. You don't have to be exclusively a hype man. But obviously, Busta is the dominant MC in that pairing right there. But, you know, Spliff, he'd be on point. He'd do the call and response. And he would have Busta's back when it came time to, you know, Busta needed to take a breath because his flows are just so long and fast. Spliff would be there with the rhyming word, you know, on point right there where it needed to be. So if Busta needed to, you wouldn't hear it. You would just hear Spliff hitting that line, the end of that line.
It's basically background vocals in rapping. And in music, background vocals really tend to add a lot. And it doesn't take a lot of background vocals to make music better. I mean, and it goes back, you know, forever, like to call and response probably in, you know, probably before. Well, it is traced back to American slave spirituals in the fields, but it probably goes back to Africa, you know, back to call and response in African tribal music. But, you know, it's well put into American music. It was actually also used in classical music. I mean, there is call and response of instruments in classical music. But, you know, I'm thinking going back to like, hidey, 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 ho, hidey, 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 ho, you know, like in that kind of music in the 40s and 50s. Man, call and response, it's there. It goes back. And, you know, it can also be visually interesting, like Joe C., the midget that Kid Rock had as a hype man. That was pretty cool. God bless his smutty soul, Joe C. He died. Yeah. But,
too soon.
And people develop their own career sometimes. I mean, Tupac Shakur began as the hype man for Digital Underground. Jay-Z was a hype man for, I don't even know who Jazzo is, but Jay-Z.
Jazzo was Jay-Z's mentor.
I don't
know
what that is.
No, Jazzo is really who brought Jay-Z into the whole rap culture. And Jay-Z, actually, you know, he wasn't just a hype man like a lot of hype men. He was an MC too, and he would have his own verse. But, you know, he would go, Jazz would get the shows, and Jay-Z would follow behind until Jay-Z's verses became superior, I guess, to Jazzo. And Jay-Z also had that really good business mind where he was able to start his own label and market himself so well.
And I was going to say, I hope he took care of Jazzo. You know, bought him an apartment or something. But no, there's a feud with Jay-Z. A feud. Yeah, that happens a lot when somebody, they've done diss tracks on each other, which is another hip-hop mainstay. There's another word for diss tracks. What is it?
Beef.
Beef. Yeah, beef. And be sure to sign
what's
up for
dinner.
Be sure to go to badquaker.com and sign up for Beef Fest, which will be happening at Pork Fest. Now, I don't know if this is really going to happen, but I was talking to Ben. Ben is a camper. Ben and his wife camp, and they go places in the in a van solving mysteries, and they stayed. They were there before Pork Fest and after for several days. You know, so it was like they were there when there was there are year-round campers at that campground. Now, here's the thing. This year they got really policey with trying to enforce that people pay to get into Pork Fest. Now, I have no problem with charging to get into something, but it's an interesting situation, and we'll get back to Hype Man, but it's an interesting situation because that campground has year-round campers, and there were Pork Fest police coming up to them saying, let me see your wristband, and they're like, I live here, man. Get off my property. So Ben was joking about, just to be contrarian, like renting five spaces a year ahead of time and then selling them to people and inviting them to something called Beef. You know, he wanted to do another event at the same time, kind of like how at the Sundance Film Festival, there's smaller festivals riding on its coattails. But he was going to do this specifically to get people in free and challenge the policing of the handbands at Porkfest. And he's
good
like,
show.
He's like, what should I don't know what to call it, though. And I'm like, you don't? You got to call it Beef Fest and have it just be people arguing on microphones. Set up debates, man. Call it Beef Fest. And I don't think he actually did it, but I think it'd be pretty cool. Beef Fest.
That would be awesome.
2014. Yeah.
When I used to do gigs on 6th Street at a place called The Bayou probably about 6 years ago before I left to be a TV reporter. And me and my fellow rapper Cad would be each other's hype men. So we share a set. You know, it'd be like six songs. We'd each do three of our own. And then when the other one was doing his primary song, you know, like if Cad was rapping, I would be his hype man. And vice versa. And it really helps. You know, there's also an interesting phenomenon of anarchic hype men. When there's a freestyle cipher, oftentimes other people in the cipher can predict what the rhyming word will be, and they'll chant it out. You know, they don't know the words to the song because it's a freestyle. There are no words to
there's
the song.
There's a little bit of that in 8 Mile. For those of you who that's your only experience to the hip and the hopping and the rapping, there is some of that of what you're talking about in 8 Mile.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie, so I don't remember. I've got some clips queued up of real live examples. This is a Busta Rhymes and Spliff Star joint right here. I'm going to play, I think, 30 seconds of it that I vetted to make sure there's no cussing.
And even so, since it is the rapping and the hipping and the hopping, I got my finger on the dump button.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's Spliff Star behind Busta, you know, making noise, saying things, just keeping it moving, you know.
Ooh.
And now we've got this one's, you know, that's a live show, so it's kind of hard to hear what they're saying. But I've also got Beastie Boys classic Intergalactic.
Oh, yeah.
And the first few bars are a perfect example of that Beastie Boys style, because kind of ad-libs was a big part of their style, is one MC saying the setup line, and then all three of them would say the rhyming word. So here we go. Here's the first few bars of Intergalactic.
Back when I hear Hoochow from the Hudson River, have to the now. I wrote the
Yeah. Rest in peace, Adam Yauch, of
all
course.
Of them. Two of them. Aren't two of them dead now?
No, just one of them.
I don't know what that is.
How mind-blowing is that, man? How old does that make me feel? Like, wow.
Yeah, interesting.
I know we said that when it happened, but it just hits me again.
Their hype manning for each other is influenced by the fact that they started out as a hardcore punk rock band, like guitar, bass, drums, and singer.
Yeah.
Before they were a hip-hop band. And their background vocals are very much the gang, I think it's called gang vocals in punk rock, where like the singer would sing, but on the choruses, everybody in the band, whether they could sing or not, would kind of shout along.
Everybody in the band and the audience, like on Throw Him Tribute by Pennywise, which is one of my favorite punk songs.
I actually saw a show of what is often considered the first emo band. Now, what were they called? They were on Discord Records. Can't even remember the name of them, but the PA guy like split in the middle of the set and took his PA and left, and the audience the audience just sang the whole set, man. They knew all the words.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
That is so awesome. All right, and we'll have plenty more fiends
Gray Matter
for your veins coming up after we go to the market.
Gray Matter was the band.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Holla.
Holla, holla. Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live Sunday show. What it do? I'm Nima Vidotti over here in the ATX representing. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the sticks smoking on some bison hair.
I am smoking on bison hair. And, you know, don't go out and kill bison to smoke their hair. You don't need to kill them to do it. You can just walk up to them with some scissors, just cut a little bit off.
Like sheep,
man. Just shear the bison.
Yeah.
You can also buy
sheep in Wyoming. Now they shear the bison.
Yeah, they also sell bison hair in a lot of gas stations around here now that they've outlawed spice. I'm smoking bison hair. So I remember the name of the band that I saw where that happened. It was Rites of Spring. They were playing with Gray Matter that day. I remember Gray Matter did a great version of I Am the Walrus by the Beatles, a really weird punky version of it. And Rites of Spring, they were playing at, God, what was the place? It's called Food for Thought in Washington, D.C. It was a great show. It was... Yeah, probably. I mean, this band played like 8 gigs and then broke up, and I saw one of them. And there was a fist fight, and then Ian MacKaye jumped into the fist fight and tried to break it up by hitting people, which is back when Ian hit people, if that's how long ago.
Doesn't seem
was.
Like the best idea for breaking up a fight to well, jump in and just start swinging.
You know, he's been asked about that in interviews, and basically it's like, you know, we were punk rockers in D.C. Everyone wanted to beat us up, and when someone jumped one of our friends, we'd all jump in and just start swinging. And he's a peace-loving guy now and doesn't do that, but he believed in self-defense. What can I say? You know, what can I say? And that band was pretty cool, Rites of Spring. It had Guy Pacheco or Picciotto, whatever his name is, who sings in Fugazi with Ian MacKay, and had Brandon Canty, the drummer from Fugazi. Fugazi kind of came out of that band. And Fugazi has a lot of hype man call and response. They basically have two lead singers who also play guitar, Guy and Ian. And it was kind of like that. Like one guy would do hype man, you know, punctuated backup kind of shouted vocals while the other was singing a song that he wrote. So, and they'd switch off. So there's another example of the hype man, hype man, hype man. Yep. Hype man.
Yep. Hype man. It happens in other genres too. Even in country, there's a big emphasis placed on background vocals, although usually they're in harmonies. But I've noticed every country song I listen to that's on the radio pretty much nowadays that's recent has a person of the opposite sex singing backup vocals.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are also examples of hype men in kind of cheesy ways. Like there's this song called It's 5 o'clock Somewhere, and it's the dude singing it, and it's very Jimmy Buffett-esque. And then in the last verse, the redemption in the third act, is Jimmy Buffett comes on, and they kind of do a back and forth together.
Yeah, well, going back to call and response, if we want to talk about country music, because we are on a country station today, two country stations, actually. This song, Ring of Fire, by Johnny Cash, has call and response between the trumpets and the guitars. The Yeah, man, Johnny Cash was great. Johnny Cash, I want to talk about him at some point, maybe today, because he was an interesting kind of patriot, because he was an anti-war patriot, which there should be more of those, I think, if you're going to be a patriot. And yeah. But yeah, just a little bit more on the hype man, the derivation of the word hype. You know, it actually was used in the 60s as a slang for heroin addicts, because hype means hypodermic needle. You know, I think I've heard that on Dragnet. Well, I think I think this guy is a hype. I think he's a hype.
That's weird, because hype now means, you know, energetic and out there and loud. But when you're on heroin, aren't you just kind of like asleep against the wall? Yeah.
Well, a lot of times words end up with contrary meanings. And the origin, according to dictionary.com, of the word hype, it's an Americanism that meant to trick or swindle. And the word is of uncertain origin, but it could be from a shortening and reanalysis of the word hyperbole, which I always thought it was. Hype, hyperbole.
Ah, okay. I can see that.
But hype man is different. A hype man is different than a backup singer, because a backup singer is there to sing, and they're often, you know, you see them on stage. They're usually pretty girls in country. Leonard Skinner had three backup chicks, but I think they had some sort of side arrangement with those women. But but they were the singers. And but in with hype man, it's kind of a visual thing too. And I think a lot of times the way people end up being a hype man is it's like, you know, it's your crew. It's your guy who's there to have your back, like on stage vocally and also off stage, like, you know, kind of the bodyguard hype man thing. Or it's your cousin and you just wanted him to have a job, you know, so you give him the hype man job.
It's the top level of the entourage.
There you go.
It's what the other lackeys aspire.
I like that. It's not the bottom level of the band. It's the top level of the entourage. That's pretty funny. Yeah, and you know, I mean, if the hype man is passed out or too drunk to go on, probably someone else in the entourage could fill in for a night. It's not rocket science. Hype man, holla, holla, holla.
It's rocking it science.
Rocking it science. I like that. I like that. Yeah, and Puffy Combs, Sean Puffy Diddy Combs, P. Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever you want to call him. It says he started as a hype man, but I don't know who for, man, because he was a producer.
His voice was always on the Biggie Smalls songs. Like, he was like, I like that. I like that bar.
Okay.
It was so annoying, and people used to call him out for it. But we'll have plenty more Freedom Fiends coming up after the market.
Hype.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, it's Freedom Fiends Live. Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Nima Vedati, and we've also got Mr. Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Holler. Holler.
Holler. Holler when appropriate, please.
I'm down in the holler.
Ah, yeah. Of course.
We're going to play a song, man. We're going to play a whole song. I don't think we've ever done that on radio, but we're going to play one of my favorite songs. It's Man in Black by Johnny Cash, and this song just tears me apart, and it's so beautiful. Let's listen to it.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you think he's talking straight to you and me? Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
Yeah, that's Johnny Cash going all the way back to 1971. I love that song, man. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I don't think I've ever listened to the whole thing with a critical mind on the lyrics.
Yeah. It's, I mean, he addresses the Vietnam War. Every week we lose 100 good, young good men. I mean, this is in 1971, the heart of the Vietnam War. And he was a patriot. He was a flag waver. He loved America. He was also very sensitive to the plight of Native Americans. totally.
He kind of looks like he's got some Native American.
A lot of
in
people
him.
Think he is, but he researched. I think he thought he was for a long time, then researched later and found out he was mostly Scottish. But he kind of was kind of an honorary Native American and did a lot of work for them. And was really he was really good about it. And he was very anti-Vietnam War in the shows in this song. And that was a tough stance to take, man, for in country music, in anything back then. You know, I mean, we talked about how Muhammad Ali, you know, basically they wouldn't let him fight as a boxer because he wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't let him voluntarily fight fights he wanted.
You can only fight for the state.
Yeah, because he wouldn't go do fights he didn't want to do. And he's like, those people never did anything to me. They're just the poor people in the ghetto of that country living in the mud. Why would I shoot them?
Yeah, you know? His answer to that question was just amazing to me. It blew my mind. He basically looked at the camera and was like, shoot them for what? What would I shoot them for big, powerful America, those poor people living in the mud? What do I need to shoot them for?
Yeah.
And he's right on with that.
And Elvis Presley was asked about the Vietnam War and didn't have an answer. I mean, he was like, oh, I'm just an entertainer. I can't make a comment on that. And I think he was afraid of getting, you know, the persecution and problems that Muhammad Ali had like the week before, you know, around that time. And then Elvis kind of became a stooge. I mean, he did some deal with the War Department where like, okay, we'll draft you, but you got to be our poster boy and then we won't put you in the line of fire. You'll just be over singing for people, which is what happened. So, and man, Johnny Cash had a hard life. I saw him play once. It was amazing. I saw him play with his wife, June Carter, in San Francisco at Great American Music Hall. I paid $75 for two tickets. That's back when tickets cost like $5 for stuff. It was probably 1986 or something. And it was like the best $75 I ever spent. It was amazing. And he died not too long after I saw him. So it was good that I got to see him. I like Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Johnny Cash, good.
Yep. And I don't know if we should play my cover of Long Black Veil by my punk rock band. Irk a lot of people. I don't have it handy, though, so I can't play it. But we'll play that at some point. Yeah.
Okay. Sure thing.
Yeah. So you wanted to maybe move on to a different topic here?
Yeah, if you want to.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, we had Lou, our big Fiend fan and Fiend supporter out there in Michigan.
Fiend's correspondent. Fiend's hype man. Fiend's hype correspondent. Man on the street.
There
Fiend's
you go.
Hype man on the street.
Yes. And he wrote a bit, didn't he? Or are we just teasing him writing the bit? Did he
read the actually information. Give out the information because it's an event. It's from the Fish and Hogs Department. What are they called in Michigan? They're going after some guy for just being a farmer, basically. They're trying to throw him in prison and charge him a whole bunch of money. And there's an event organized. I think it's a benefit and for knowledge to get the word out. And when is that? Do you have that handy? I'm not on the Facebooks like you are.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen July 12th at 1 p.m. At least that's the thing on Facebook. But if you're on Facebook, go look it up. It's called Baker's Green Acres Court Hearing and Celebration of the Farm. I'm going to read the little blurb here. So after the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, which we call the Department of Fish and Hogs. But after they said that heritage breeds of pigs were considered an invasive species and outlawed them, peaceful Michigan pig farmer Mark Baker was put on the spot. Mark's herd of carefully tended Mangalista pigs offered his family a reliable income. Now Mark faces constant harassment by individuals in the DNR and a serious loss of income threatening the viability of the farm. In response to the DNR aggression against Mark, the Baker family is suing the DNR for loss of income and to keep peacefully raising their pigs on their own land. So if you want to, go ahead and join hundreds of other concerned people in support of the Bakers in court and the following day on the farm for a celebration of the farm and a fundraiser to keep it going.
It's kind of like the low budget punk rock version of Farm Aid, except the money will actually go to help a farmer instead of going up the noses of a bunch of millionaire rock stars like it did with Farm Aid.
Yeah.
Supposedly, allegedly. I don't know.
Well, It's just really sad that we live in a world today where the government has so much control over what people can do on their own land, and thusly what people can put into their own bodies. You know, they really support the massive state-sanctioned corporations. I'm not being anti-market when I complain about these things, or if you complain
they're not
about
the
Monsanto.
They're not the market. They're not the market.
Not at all, no.
I mean, Monsanto's board is stocked with people from the government and vice versa. You know, the government is stocked with former Monsanto people.
Yeah, there's some great Venn diagrams you can look up online to get a good visualization of that. But a corporate entity using the state to enact regulations that keep the little guys from competing and literally harass them out of business, this is a perfect microcosm of that. Because I bet some of the big pushers of this are people who stand to gain from the little organic farmer losing his farm, even though that's what people want to eat. They want to be the ones who decide what's organic or not and what can be seen as something you can eat rather than you deciding for yourself.
And again, a lot of this is the outcome of the war on drugs. You know, if you are pro-farmer, you should be anti-war on drugs, because the war on drugs, first of all, it is a war on peaceful farmers, people who grow things. Secondly, you know, the war on drugs is what enables the militarization of the police to be able to kick in doors of gun owners, to be able to kick in doors of farmers, to be able to do all sorts of horrible things. You know, it's all one blob. The government is all one armed blob pointing guns at you. You know, they're arming the IRS now. The IRS just ordered a bunch of AR-15s. And another thing I saw the other day
they're arming the National Weather Service. They're arming any government agency that interacts with the people on any level.
Yeah. And another thing that just came out is the EPA is making a strong recommendation, which isn't a law, but probably will be enacted like one, in that manufacturers will follow it, that all refrigerators by the end of 2014 have to have a way to sync up with the computers at the local power grid so they can turn your fridge off remotely, you know, in times of high power usage. And how much longer is it before they put microphones in them? And how are they going to sync those up? By radio? By, you know, are we going to hear ads on GCN for a Faraday cage for your house in a couple of years? Probably. Probably.
No, I imagine they would want it to be hardwired
Internet.
In some way.
Internet.
Yeah, or the fridge could have, you know, a Wi-Fi receiver to where it would pick up your internet signal, or even coax cable going straight to the back of the fridge, or an Ethernet cable
company
going straight to
the
back of the fridge.
You will be the guy installing it, Nima, because you're a cable guy.
Time Warner Fridge Service, yes.
Hopefully by then, though, you will be a full-time only radio person raising a baby on your knee.
You know, I will still DJ weddings, though, because that's a ton of fun.
Because it's a ton of fun, and it's really being a small part of something really special to people that they'll remember forever. And a lot of people don't do it well, and, you know, you got to fill those slots with people doing it well so people have a good experience with their wedding and remember it. And how can people hire you for your wedding service? They can go to freedomfiends.com if they're in the Austin area and send an email to talkback@freedomfiends.com hire Nima to DJ their wedding.
They could contact me directly or through an agency called The Wedding Shop. That's SHOPPE. Or The DJ Shop, which is pretty much the same group. And soon through another agency, ideally, I'm in talks right now with another agency that's really awesome called White Label DJs. And the concept is people who are well-to-do and hip probably don't want lame wedding DJs. So it's kind of a boutique wedding DJ outfit. But we'll have plenty more Freedom Fiends coming up for you after we go to the market.
Yeah. We'll have the tweak in review.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Welcome back, Freedom Fiends. We had a fun time with you today. Yeah. I am Nima Vedati. You probably have gathered that. And we've also got Michael W. Dean out there. Mr. Dean.
Dean.
Yes, of course.
I was hype manning you. I said Dean when you said Dean. You didn't catch it.
Oh.
Michael W.
Good
Dean.
Job.
Yeah.
Dean.
Hype.
Yeah.
Hype.
So, as we are wont to do, we are going to do a quick recap of what we've said. We've called it the ANCAP recap, but we also mostly call it the Fiends Tweak and Review. Yeah. And so we're going to start with David Kodria, because that's what we started the show with. As you've probably been able to tell if you listen to the whole show, he's one of the guys who broke the Fast and Furious, a.k.a. the Gunwalker scandal, where basically the state was allowing guns to be given without the proper normal checks they would do on average American citizens to cartels, drug cartels across the border. And he seemed to be of the mind that the concept here is the state was trying to paint guns as the bad guy, almost sort of a cynical thing of, well, let's make gun violence increase and there'll be American guns and then there'll be some kind of backlash against how easy it is to get a weapon. And Kodria also said this is a bigger scandal than Watergate because somewhere around 200 people have died from it. And those deaths were aided by the state. You know, when we asked him if guns don't kill people, people kill people, why should we care where these drug cartel folks got their guns? And he's saying, well, because the state is where they got those guns. You know, it's a cynical, very cynical action on the part of the state. And then those deaths are aided by the state. And we pay the state. The state steals our money to do this in the average American citizen's name. And that's not fun at all. It should be exposed and people should be angry about it, even though the media tries to downplay it by pretty much not talking about it or saying it was just some kind of failed gun tracking program, like the state tried to do something good, had good intentions, and it failed. Kodria says, nah, that's BS. This was a cynical action on the state's part to create deaths and destruction at the hands of these people holding these guns given to them by the state. You know, then we did get a little bit philosophical a little bit in the second half of our interview with Kodria. He called freedom a technology, which we've bumped into that concept before, but I don't know if I've ever heard it put in those words, that freedom is a technology. The Constitution is an old model, he seemed to say. And he also seemed to say that we don't really have a cohesive update. I kind of don't think we need to have some cohesive update, some kind of central document like the Constitution or like
Agreed.
The Bill of Rights. I think we can have examples. And if those examples convince enough people, all we need to have, I mean, it can be a dispersed movement. It doesn't have to be planned. It doesn't have to be organized. It can be people just withdrawing their consent from and stopping using different states. Methods of interacting, of transacting, and doing human action. Then, of course, we got hype, because that's what hype men do. They get it hype. And me and Michael are each other's hype man. Flavor Flav was Chuck D's hype man. Jay-Z was Jazz O's hype man. And they keep it hype. hype. And it's fun. Now, and it has history.
I'm not being a bad hype man here. People probably think I am because I'm coming in off beat, but they have to recognize there's 300 milliseconds between me and Nima of delay. Because we're like thousands of miles apart. It sounds like we're in the same room, but we're not.
Try singing along to your favorite song with your friend next time you're on a cell phone, and you'll realize it is impossible.
Yeah. And, you know, Nima and I can't be in the same room because he's allergic to bison hair smoke. So that's why he's in Austin.
That's why I smoke tobacco cigars. Yes. And then from the farm to the fridge, the state wants to control what you eat. If you want to help out and you live in Michigan or around those parts, go ahead and support Baker's Green Acres. There's some nice activist action. They are suing the government there, the Department of Fish and Hogs, also known as the Department of Natural Resources, because those folks are harassing this guy, Baker's Green Acres. They're trying to harass him out of house and home and farm. And it's just awful. And not only that, but something that affects everyone is the EPA wants to have control of your fridge. It's not a law yet, but it could be very soon.
I have a prediction of mission creep with that. They're going to put cameras in your fridge to enforce your Obamacare eating plan.
Your eating habits. Wouldn't that just be awful? Yeah, the telescreen won't be where you watch TV. It'll be where you go for your snacks. Ugh. What a world we live in. But we'll have more redemption on our Wednesday show. Go ahead and listen to
Thank
that.
Thank you
and
for listening to Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. Peace.
Yeah. Me and Michael Dean.
Hola.
Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.